And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another Nerdtastic podcast episode of Nerdy Notions with Sasha Kaplan.
I am the one, I am the only, I am the mighty, Sasha. And speaking of high and mighty, today we are continuing our magical journey through the Marvel Cinematic Universe Phase 1. So we are here.
Wait, we're not done yet?
Huh?
We're not done yet?
Oh, we're not even close. Damn. Tis only the beginning. Well, at this point, we're about like halfway through the MCU.
Yeah, we are, because we've done the first three movies. There's only six movies in Phase 1. So
when we get to Phase 3, then things get real complicated. But anyway, today, we start our journey off with Thor.
Who?
Thor, the mighty Thor.
Okay.
And, you know, Thor is a, just like, you know, the Hulk, he's a very old character, has been around since forever, really, of the Marvel Universe, way back in the 60s. And this is very much a story that is, Thor in as a character itself, and this whole concept of Asgard is very Kirby-esque. There's so much Jack Kirby of his influences and world building, because if anybody could create a cosmic world, it was Jack Kirby. And so with that, let's talk about this movie where we kind of begin with, in ancient times, where we kind of see there's like a narration by Odin about the universe and the different realms and the ice giants or frost giants or whatever they are. And then we kind of get a little bit of, you know, Dr. Foster, and how she's like a scientist. We don't really get much of an impression of her other than like, this is a science person. And then we flash back to, you know, Odin and Asgard and things. I think that's right. That sounds right.
Yeah, sounds about right. We'll go with that.
The first part is like, so we get this like ancient narration, and then we're flung back towards a little bit before that scene with Jane Foster. And we see this beautiful, beautiful design for Asgard. And Asgard just looks like a magical place. It looks like Disney's Magic Kingdom. But
pre-Disney buying Marvel.
It's pretty, it's shiny. It's really, there's like giant rainbow bridge thing. It's pretty cool. There's people wearing horned helmets, as one does. But the whole thing is there's a magical event. That event being Thor is, I guess, being named as the crown prince, heir to Odin's throne, whatever.
And well, before we get to that, it shows, you know, you're missing a part where Thor ends up on Earth through exile.
We haven't gotten there yet.
We haven't?
We have not. This is the beginning, though. Because in the beginning...
That's right. Yeah, they do that, but...
So the... We don't even really see what happens. We know that Jane Foster hits something and something falls to the earth, and then we kind of flash to Odin.
Okay, yeah, that's the thing I'm thinking about, yeah.
No, we'll get there. We'll get there. Don't worry. Anyway, so there's a couple of interesting parallels that I noted between actually Thor and Tony that is unfortunately not really explored ever in the MCU, which is kind of sad. But we'll get to that. So Thor is about to take an oath to, I guess he's about to like be crowned prince or put in charge while Odin goes into the all sleep or the Odin sleep. But the ceremony is interrupted because frost giants have apparently broken into the kingdom, into Asgard, and they want to steal this ice thing. This like weird, cool ice machine thingy, and my arms are doing a thing that no one can see except you, Mike, because reasons.
Yeah. It's a very weightlifting style of movement.
Anyway, it's like this box thing, and it's got like handles, and it shines ice on, sprays ice on things. So Thor is, of course, very angry that the frost giants have broken in. This is a declaration of war. And Odin's like, we don't know that this is a declaration of war. These are, you know, rogue frost giants, even though like neither one of them knows exactly what happened. Odin just kind of assumes that this is a rogue faction, and Thor just kind of assumes this is a war crime or a declaration of war or whatever. So neither one of them knows what's going on, and Odin doesn't really do a good enough job of saying, like, oh, we'll get to the bottom of this and we'll figure it out, blah, 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 blah. So Thor's kind of cocky.
Odin was more like, they're dead. It's over. That was his response, essentially. It's like, they're dead. It's okay. We got it.
But we really don't know who these people, like, why they broke in, or, like, what the situation is, and is this a declaration of war? Are they just, like, some rogue giants that were not that, I don't know. Anyway. So Thor is very cocky. He's very, like, you know, cocksure and whatnot, and he's kind of a jerk-ish. Like, he's not a jerk-jerk, but he's definitely, like, arrogant. So he goes back and he's angry because Daddy told him not to start a war with the Frost Giants. And he talks to Lady Sif and the Warriors Three and his brother Loki, played by Tom Hiddleston. And, like, anybody who's ever read a Marvel comic should automatically know that, like, Loki's going to be the primary antagonist for the movie. It doesn't matter how attractive and adorable Tom Hiddleston is as Loki. Like, it just doesn't matter. He's the bad guy, okay? And this is, like, I genuinely enjoy Loki in this film. But anyway, so he basically convinces, he goes through, like, this order of, like, you know, you guys got to go with me. And Lady Sif's like, we're forbidden to go to Jotunheim. Like, do you want to be accused of treason? And he's like, well, I helped you guys with this. And I did this. And I gave you pheasants that made you feel like you've died and gone to Valhalla. Or you got to eat pheasants and whatnot.
And who said that a maiden couldn't be a warrior?
Yes, Sif, but I supported you. And so, like, he basically convinces all of them to go to Jotunheim. And this is where we meet Heimdall, played by Idris Elba. And Idris Elba should, like, narrate life. Like, give him a nature documentary. Give him, like, literally anything.
Hey. There's a reason we have Morgan Freeman still.
No, hold on. There's a voice that narrates your life, and then there's the voice of God. Those can be two very different voices.
Well, right now, they're both Morgan Freeman, damn it.
Idris Elba. I'm sorry. I love his voice. I can't. Anyway, so they go to Jotunheim via the Rainbow Bridge, and Heimdall's like, I'm not going to keep the bridge open for you. If what you're doing is a threat to Asgard, I'm going to cut you off, and you're going to die in Jotunheim. And they're like, oh, cool. Thanks. Good to know. And he can't hold the Rainbow Bridge open either, because the sheer force of power of teleportation via this mechanism could destroy Jotunheim.
Theoretically, if it's held open long enough, it can destroy anything.
Exactly. And so they go to Jotunheim, and Laufey's kind of a jerk, and nothing is really clear, and there's a fight, and Thor's a jerk, and there's a moment where, like, the Frost Giants touch them, and they're, like, hands
get... Well, before you get to that part, what leads to the eventual fight is that they gave him an opportunity to walk away.
And he was about to.
And they're like, yeah, we'll do that. And then I guess one of the generals or soldiers.
No, it was Laffy.
No, it wasn't Laffy. It was somebody else.
Pretty sure it was Laffy.
I think it was one of the generals of Laffy. And they just said, go ahead and walk away, princess.
And that's when
everyone just kind of went, you shouldn't have done that. You just provoked him.
Yep, pretty much. And so there's a fight, and basically they're getting their butts whooped at one point. They realize that, like, the Frost Giants, if they touch them, it's really bad for them. Loki goes blue for a second and isn't quite sure what the heck is going on. And then Odin shows up to save the day and rescue them.
Off now to save the day. Anyways.
And
sorry, you just set that up.
Odin is really not happy.
Odin's pissed.
Odin is so mad. And basically, and part of that scene where Odin's, like, reaction to Thor's words was actually at the direction of the director, was improvised by the actor who plays Odin, Hannibal.
Anthony Hopkins.
Anthony Hopkins, thank you.
Who played Frigga?
Brooke Shields.
No, Jane Fonda.
It's Brooke Shields.
It's Jane Fonda.
It's Brooke Shields.
IMDb, come to me.
I'll wait, guys, because we all know I'm right.
Thor. 2011. Let's do it this way. Why does everything have to have advertisements? Stop with all the goddamn advertisements.
I don't know.
Oh, no, Rene Russo. Rene Russo.
Okay, fine. We're both wrong.
Yeah.
Brooke Shields to me looks like Rene Russo, so.
Yeah, but Rene Russo plays Frigga, which is Thor's mother.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brooke Shields wasn't even in the movie.
Okay, so I got them confused. I pictured Rene Russo in my head, but I said Brooke Shields. So we were both wrong. Happy now?
Yeah, sure. We'll go with that.
Let's go with that. All right. Anyway, so basically, Odin is angry. He takes the hammer from Thor and basically casts him out of Asgard. But before he does, you know, before they close the Bifrost, he says, you know, whosoever holds this hammer, if he be worthy, shall possess the power of Thor. And he kind of creepily whispers it into the hammer. And he sends the hammer off. And so then we get to the scene with Jane again. And Jane hits the good, not Donald Blake, with her car. Where he kind of falls on her car while she's driving. And he's kind of acting drunk. And he's like, Heimdall, open the Bifrost. I don't know why I just did that in a voice, but oh well.
And the others are just kind of looking at him going like, all right, I think I'm going to tase him now.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So there, let's see, there's a fight, Thor, oh yeah, so Daisy, basically Thor kind of goes on this like tirade, like, oh, who are you? What realm am I in? Jotunheim, Smeltheim, and Daisy's like, New Mexico, and he's like acting like a jerk, and then she tasers him.
Yeah.
So then he kind of goes, they take him to the hospital.
Get him committed.
Thor's not like hospitals or doctors apparently very much.
Well, he didn't know what was going on. Like, all he remembered was he got tased, and the next thing you know is he wakes up in a white room.
Yep. So, meanwhile, the hammer has been discovered, and everybody's, like, having a party and, like, trying to lift the hammer, and Coulson shows up. So, this specifically ties in with Iron Man. This is the scene that ties it all together, so now we know that the events of Iron Man 2 take place at the same time as Thor. Man, Shield's busy. Anyway...
Yeah, but there is one nice little moment, and it's one of the few cameos that we will talk about for Stan Lee, because it is worthwhile to note that everyone is trying to lift Mjolnir, and they wrap a chain around the handle of the hammer,
and attach it
to a truck, and Stan Lee is the one driving the truck, and it rips the entire flatbed off of this truck. And he's like, did it work? And everyone's just laughing their ass off. And it is an actual genuine funny moment in the film.
Anyway, so basically Jane and Daisy and Eric Selvig are looking through these like atmospheric data, and they realize that the guy that Jane hit with her car, Thor, was actually potentially in this weird portal thing that like whatever it is. So they're like, great, we got to go get the guy. And then Jane hits him with her car again because he escapes the hospital.
Nothing like hitting this guy with a car. Good thing he's Thor and he can take it.
Yeah. And he's a charmer, so that also helps. And he's really, really attractive, so that also helps. So,
you trying to say something here?
I'm saying Thor is attractive. I don't know what conclusions you could possibly draw from that. He's not like my husband level material, but he's very attractive. Anyway, so there's like a couple scenes where like they're like, okay, you can help us, yada yada yada, and then before they can really do anything, Shield basically shows up and starts taking all of Jane's research. Meanwhile, back on Asgard, Loki is trying to figure out what the heck he is, and he touches the same this device thing that the Frost Giants tried to steal, and he turns blue, and he's like, and then Odin shows up. And he's like, what the heck am I? And it's revealed that, like, the child that Odin rescued from Jotunheim is actually baby Loki. And we're not really explained how Loki was, like, normal-sized when everything else is a frost giant. And I guess he's, like, half a frost giant. But that was never really explained. Because there was a bunch of rewrites that the script went through and some things were abandoned for budget reasons and whatnot. But we never got that explanation. Another, speaking of explanations that we don't get, at that moment, as Loki's, like, angry and taking it out on his father because, like, oh, I was never meant to be a king and I was never going to have the throne, like, yeah, life sucks. I'm sorry, you're the younger one. But this whole thing of like, oh, I'm not really an Asgardian and whatnot. And basically Odin collapses and goes into the Odin sleep. And again, no idea what this is or why it's a thing, but it's a thing. And so back on Earth, S.H.I.E.L.D. is cleaning out Jane's things. And I like the fact that she's like, everything I own is either on that truck or in this book. And then one of the agents is like, and Coulson tells the agent, like, take the book. And he takes the book. It's like, that's my research. And they help feed and clothe Thor previously before that. And Thor does this whole thing where he like drops them out. And says, I like this drink. Another. And you're like, what are you doing, dude? And he, like, apparently he ate, like, all the Pop-Tarts, and I went for waffles, and, like, and Daisy's, like, very confused why he can eat so much. I'm like, have you seen this hunk of chiseled man? Do you not understand the amount of sustenance that is required for this hunk of chiseled man? Chiseled man. Anyway. So.
I'm not the chiseled man. I'm so sorry.
I keep saying Thor, chiseled man. Anyway. So. As Jane is lamenting the loss of her stuff, her wonderful, wonderful stuff, basically they take all her stuff, literally all of it, all her research. They take her computer, they take Darcy's iPod, they take Selvig's computer, and Selvig tells her that, like, you don't mess with S.H.I.E.L.D. and tells the story about this man he knew who was a pioneer in gamma radiation, which ties in the Hulk. And then what's interesting is Selvig suggests that he has a contact in the scientific community that he can reach out to. And then
Darcy was like, they took your laptop.
Darcy, yeah, says they took your laptop. And in a deleted scene, apparently that was supposed to be Hank Pym. Why? We also know that Hank was technically a founder of S.H.I.E.L.D., so that's actually an interesting... Whether that was intentional or unintentional later on is kind of interesting. So basically, Thor convinces Jane to take him to the crater to get his hammer. And they go to this crash site, quote unquote, and like all the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents are there. This is basically like when a UFO crash lands at before Area 52. And yes, I said Area 52.
Coming off the heels of the Raid Area 51 event.
I mean, did you not see Looney Tunes back in action? Everybody knows that Area 51 was concocted to try the true nature, to hide the true nature and the true facility. Area 52.
It's also where they hold all the supplies like toilet paper, paper towels, toothbrushes, toothpaste, stuff like that. You know, just when the people at Area 52.
That's also where the portal is to the multiverse. You're welcome, DC fans. Anyway, Garrett, get it? 52.
Yep.
Okay. So things get interesting as Thor then goes after he's trying to get to his hammer. And he is like accosted by all of these S.H.I.E.L.D. agents and he just like plows through them.
Except for one. Like the last guy he fights is kind of an actual fight.
Yeah, but then he actually like kicks his ass. And he goes, "Oh, you're big. Fight bigger."
The line was, before they fought, was, you big, Thor bigger. You said
fought. Thor.
No, it was Thor bigger.
Really?
Yeah, it's Thor bigger.
That doesn't fit to me, but anyway.
Well, because keep in mind, he said, you're big, Thor bigger.
Except Thor wasn't bigger than him. Anyway. This is how arrogant he is. But anyway, this is also where we kind of, as he's going through this, we also get a hint of Sitwell, our eventual Hydra agent.
Which we'll learn more about it, which we'll learn more about. And we'll see him again in Avengers, but we really don't really see much of him until
Winter Soldier.
So but then we also get this, he introduced the Hawkeye.
Yes. And Hawkeye's pretty cool. Like, he doesn't really get to do much, but he's just, like, they put him on a rig and, like, they hoist him up. And I'm like, this is such a waste of time, but okay. And finally, like...
But there's an in-joke to it, though, when you get to Avengers. Because you're introduced to him in Thor, yeah, with him up high.
Yes.
With the arrow ready. But yes, then when you're introduced to him in Avengers, he's up high overseeing everything.
Yes, which involves Selvig, which is, ties back in. So Thor tries to lift the hammer, can't lift the hammer. He is not worthy at this point. The hammer said no. I'm sorry.
When the hammer says no, it means no, Thor.
I knew you were going to do that. Anyway, so Thor is finally captured, and he's in an interrogation room, and Coulson's like, so, where have you trained? Like, you're special ops, or you're, like, a Navy SEAL, or, like, do you go get your training from, like, the Taliban or whatever? And Thor's like, I have no idea what any of these words mean. But he walks away, and Loki shows up, and Loki tells Thor that Odin is dead, and that Asgard is on the brink of war, and the only way to avoid war was to maintain Thor's banishment. And Thor is obviously devastated by this news, but he's like, I'll miss you, Loki. I love you. Like, I'm sorry. Like, good luck. Goodbye. And Coulson walks in and goes, goodbye. I just got back. And talks about how his mom is devastated, yada, yada, yada. So then Selvig shows up and with a fake ID for Thor, like really bad fake ID, and says, oh, this is Dr. Donald Blake, which is a hint of the comics.
Which also was hinted earlier when Jane was giving him clothes because the shirt had a sticker badge that says Dr. Donald Blake. Yep.
So in that, let's see, so they basically, Coulson for some reason decides to let them go just for the sake of seeing like what's going on. I don't know what Coulson's plan was, but he was like, we don't really have time to hold this guy, like take him. Even though he knows it's the ID is fake.
Yeah, because it said it right there on the monitor, fake ID.
Yep.
But Thor was able to walk off with Jane's journal.
Yes, it was. And then he and Selvig go to a bar, and Selvig basically is like, you know, if you promise to leave tonight, I'll buy you a drink. Thor's like, okay. So they get these two Boilermakers. These
after the fact that Coulson said to keep him away from the bars.
Yes. Well, because he was like, oh, he has a drinking problem. He got drunk and devastated. And
well, he also used the steroids. And
anyway, which again, like, why did Coulson let them go? But whatever. So Selvig thinks that Thor will leave tonight and that'll be the end of it. Unfortunately, Selvig did not realize that you cannot outdrink an Asgardian unless you're a super soldier or Lady Blackhawk, but that's a separate conversation. So Thor ends up outdrinking Selvig, obviously, and ends up having to literally carry him back to Jane and like lays him down on the bed. And Jane lives in like this little trailer, and it's kind of adorable how like self-conscious she is about this trailer. But I like that the fact we drink, he made his ancestors proud.
And we forgot the rest of the line.
That was pretty much it. So Jane and Thor end up talking, and he tells her about the Nine Realms and how science and magic are the same thing. Or at least in Asgard, science, magic, and magic is science. Or magic as a scientific basis. Also not really well explained, but deep. And they stay up late talking, and they gaze into the stars, and it's all romantic and whatnot. Meanwhile, the Warriors Three are fighting, and they go to Loki to see if Loki will, reverse Thor's banishment. And Loki's like, my first act cannot be the one to undo the actions of my predecessor and whatnot. And so they go to Heimdall.
They got summoned by Heimdall.
Before they go to Loki, Heimdall asks to see them,
right after that, they went back and they met again.
Yes.
And then they were conspiring, and because Heimdall sees all.
Yes, Heimdall called them, and he's like,
oh, he sent a guard to request them, and that's,
yes. Yeah. So they go to see him, and he's like, so, you guys would betray Loki, our king, to go to Earth and get Thor? They're like, yeah, pretty much. He goes, okay, have fun.
And they're like, what? Like,
you're gonna help Sif- no. He says, I cannot help you. I am duty bound to our king and blah blah blah. And he just starts walking away. And one of them looks over, he goes, and
yeah, it was Sif. Sif looked over because the sword was in the thing and it started going off, and she just kind of looked at it and goes, oh, okay. Let's go, guys.
So Thor is on Earth and he's making breakfast, and so then the Warriors Three show up and they land, and they're like walking through the town, and the shield agents, they get like alert about like this atmospheric activity, and they go to the town. And one of the agents as like...
No, it was a regular street cop before the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. got there that says, is the Renaissance Fair in town?
Yeah. And then on the rooftop, as they're walking through the town, there's a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. Mm. And he's on the roof and he's on a walkie and he goes, we got Xena, Jackie Chan, and Robin Hood.
And some other guy.
Yeah, for some reason they didn't talk about the big guy. Little John, Robin Hood, and Little John. I mean, they're blonde and red. It works. Anyway. So Loki is angry about this, and he, like, freezes Heimdall, and he sends the destroyer.
Yep.
He literally freezes him in ice as the Frost Giants are infiltrating. And Heimdall has an interesting conversation with Loki where he's like, how is it that I didn't see you at this exact moment? Blah, 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 blah. You were hidden from my view. And Loki tells him that, like, there's a bunch of different ways in and out of the city, of the realm. And they're like, whatever, there's magic in the air. So Thor and Sif come back, and they tell Thor that he needs to stop Loki. And it's, like, it's the dorkiest thing when he turns around, and there they are. They're just, like, awkwardly waving, like, hi!
It's so cute and romantic in a weird way.
Very weird way.
Well, the bro hugs that came afterwards.
This is true.
Yeah.
So Thor says that he's really sorry, so the destroyer shows up, and obviously, like, those Sif and the Warriors 3 tried to fight, and they keep getting their butt kicked. There's a really cool scene where, like, Sif is, like, on top of the destroyer with, like, her sword, and it just, like, turns its head and blasts it. But as it first shows up, here, there's another hint. He goes, I think it was Agent Sitwell, or somebody asked, he goes, is that one of Stark's? And Coulson's like, I don't know, the guy doesn't tell me anything.
Pretty much, yeah.
And it turns out not to be Thor. Or not to be a Stark. So, basically, Thor's like, look, Loki, I'm sorry. I love you. You're, like, my brother. Blah, 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 blah. We're family. Life sucks. Let's be merry.
Don't take it out on these people.
Right. Meanwhile, Thor's, like, helping to evacuate the town with Jane and the others. And so, Loki...
Darcy is hilarious in that scene, because she's just kind of, like, deer in the headlights going... Let's go, people. Move. Yep. But with lost in the headlights, like, look on her face.
Yep. So Jane, basically the destroyer starts, like, walking away, and then he just, like, turns and bitch slaps Thor. And so Thor's kind of like, he gets pretty hurt because he's not so supple anymore, and he kind of looks like he's dying, and then the destroyer comes over to try to kill Thor, and that's when the Mjolnir rises again. And he transforms into Thor. There's a really bad moment of CGI. Like, I think they didn't quite know how to tweak it, where you just see him in, like, the thunder and lightning holding the hammer with a full suit of armor. But he becomes Thor again, and he talks to Coulson. He's like, I'm a friend of yours, son of... I think it's really funny when he calls him son of Cole. And Coulson's like, okay, Thor, we're just gonna let him do the thing, because he can, like, go up against the destroyer. Meanwhile, you know, the Frost Giants are infiltrating Asgard, and they are sent to... Loki, I guess, made a deal to get them into Asgard to kill Odin.
So what Loki did, and it kind of, we're going to try to backtrack a little bit. Before all of this, he actually was meeting with the head of the Frost Giants. And he pretty much was like, who do you think let you guys in the first place?
Yes.
And then the Loki goes, well, why don't you kill Odin yourself? And he goes, no, it wouldn't look good for me to kill my predecessor. It would have to be you to do it.
Yep.
And then that's where it kind of leads. And then that's when Heimdall gets frozen. The Frost Giants come in for the Bifrost and, you know, all that stuff. And then as these events are happening, you have Loki in the Odin sphere or Odin sleep area. They come in with the
Rene Russo.
Yeah, with Rene, as Frigga. Frigga takes out the first one that walks in, though, but yep, then yep, kind of yep. gets the backhand of Loki.
Frigga's actually, like, really cool in these movies. She doesn't get a lot of time to do stuff because she's a very minor character. But
she got to do the most in Dark World, and then we obviously got to see a lot of her in Endgame.
Yes.
But this
is the moment where Laufey then kind of comes in to kill Odin, and Loki ends up double-crossing Laufey, shocker, and ends up killing it's something like your death came at the hand of Laufey, and then
because Loki he's opening Odin's eyes so Odin can see him do it.
And then Loki blasts him and says, and your death came at the son of Odin. And this entire movie can basically be summarized like, Daddy, can you please just love me?
There's a reason why this film is called Thor's Daddy Issues.
I mean, this is pretty much the whole point. Yeah, this is the movie. It looks more of like Thor's New Groove. What is that movie with Michael J. Fox? Doc Hollywood, but the Thor version, where like, you know... Anyway, Thor he's on Earth now and he's defeated the Destroyer, but now he has to go stop Loki. And he's like, Heimdall, open the Bifrost again. And this time Heimdall, like, it's a really cool scene when Heimdall breaks free of the ice, kills the two frost giants right there, and like just goes to open the portal and so Thor can come back.
Yes.
And him and the Warriors 3 come there. There's of course, you know, a kissing scene with Jane before that, blah, 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 blah. I don't care. I really don't. We'll talk about why later. So Thor and Loki fight. Loki is revealed to have been the one behind all of this. Basically, Thor ends up destroying the Bifrost. Which wakes up Odin, and then he ends up rescuing Thor and Loki, but then Loki's like, I basically just wanted you to love me.
It's like, I did it for you, Father. And he's like, no, you didn't.
And then Loki just kind of lets go of the rod and flies away into the void. And it kind of looks like he does, but of course he doesn't. We know he doesn't.
Yeah.
After that, there's like a party, there's a celebration. Thor misses his girlfriend and Lady Sif is like, this is awkward now.
Gets even more awkward in Dark World.
A little bit. Nobody remembers Dark World, please. Thor kind of talks to Heimdall at the border of the leftover Bifrost. He goes, yes, she searches for you. She misses you, blah, 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 blah. And that's pretty much where the movie ends. And then there's an after credit scene where Selvig is meeting with Fury, and Fury shows him the Tesseract. And this is our first look at the Tesseract. And Loki's like, oh, this warrants a sight, a look. He answers for Selvig, and that's the end of that. So... couple things. Chris Hemsworth and Tom Hiddleston were both unknowns when they were cast. I think Tom had a decent career in like Shakespeare and like in British television. And I think Chris was on an Australian soap opera, but neither one of them had like really big credits. With Hiddleston maybe the exception. But anyway, there was a lot of controversy because fangirls be fangirls. And they told Chris that he needed to bulk up, and he bulked up just a smidge too much. And so the suit was really tight on him, a little tighter than like they wanted. And the funny thing is, the reason that Anthony Hopkins signed on for the role is because the script had such a like a father-son element to it, and because he saw a lot of himself in Odin, which was kind of really funny, but you know, now like, you can't unsee it. And this goes into the other point that I mentioned at the beginning, that there is like correlation, I think, between Thor and Tony, because they both have daddy issues. Their daddy issues are different, but they both have them. And there is also this concept of like arrogant hero or arrogant person goes through trauma or hardship and becomes less of a jerk.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or, you know, there's that moment of clarity, a wake-up call, which I just realized is a quote from Avengers Disassembled. But anyway... I think Tom Hiddleston is amazing as Loki. I blame the fandom completely for my detest of Loki, because I like Tom Hiddleston. I like what he brings to the role, but I cannot look at Loki without seeing fandom fangirls, and it irks me. I can't with the fangirls. There's a lot that is unexplained in this movie, and part of this is because the movie went through some rewrites, because the original script would have needed a budget of like $300 million.
Also, this was a film that was in developmental hell for quite a while. At one point, WWE superstar, and now actually he's now in a CEO type position with WWE now, Triple H was actually slated to play Thor. with the original director. And actually, honestly, if they had done it with Triple H then, when they originally wanted to, which was back in, I believe, 2005, 2006, especially when Triple H was doing his King of Kings theme, where he had his beard shaved a little differently and he was, you know, rocking more of that type of stuff for his entrances, it actually would have worked at that time. But the other problem is that if Triple H did do Thor at that time too, it probably wouldn't have given us the Thor we got with Chris Hemsworth.
No, it would have, no. Although I would have been curious to see like what the, because the original script that Chris, Mark Pritsevich wrote, or no, that's the direct, that's one of this, there were, just like with Iron Man 1 and the Hulk, there were several rewrites, there were switches of directors. There was a lot that was going on behind the scenes. They kept delaying the film. And eventually, you know, I think it all worked out for the best. I don't think this is the best MCU movie by far. I also don't think it's the best origin story. Well, partially because it's not an origin story. It's about a god that learns to be human. But it's, there's a lot that's left unexplained. We don't really get, we sort of like get half a reason of why Loki decides to do this whole thing with the Frost Giants. And like, it's kind of implied that this is all part of this thing to like show daddy that Loki is the rightful king of Asgard, should be the rightful, you know, heir to the throne of Asgard. And I just realized that I made a mistake, that it's Odin that tells him that he sees Jade looking for him, and that like, Odin tells him that, you know, he's really proud of Thor, that he's like a great son, blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, but it, and the thing is like, the beginning of the film, we see Odin telling the story of the Frost Giants to little Thor and little Loki. And the two actors that play them are adorable. But it, there's nothing that implies that Odin, at least within the scope of the MCU, we don't need to talk comics or actual Norse mythology, is a bad father. But the, so the question is that like, is it actually, so is the real truth the Odin version, or is Loki correct in thinking that his father has always favored Thor over him because that's his natural son as opposed to Loki who's adopted? But that's never explained. I think
I love all the adoption jokes that go moving forward because of the, because well, this film,
they make one in Avengers, so there you go.
I know, but that's what I'm saying, because this movie set it up to do adoption jokes throughout the rest of the MCU.
Yeah, so there are some things that worked. I would have loved a little bit more. The thing that I hated about all three of the Thor movies is none of them gave me enough about Asgard and Asgardian society. Thor Ragnarok did, but it was, we will talk about that. I have several thoughts on that.
We're about 18 movies away from that one.
Maybe at least 10 for sure.
At least maybe 16.
Anyway.
Keep in mind, Phase 3 alone is like 17 movies.
That can't be right.
No, it's probably like 12 or 13. It has the most of the films because Phase 1 is 6 movies, Phase 2 is 7, and then God, who knows?
We'll get there.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, hold on. I have that written down. Let's see. Making me count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
That's not
11 if you count Ant 11, Ant-Man and Wasp. Well, no, 12 because Far From Home also takes place.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, so it's like, and you encountered Endgame in that too, and Captain Marvel. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's like 12 to 13 movies in Phase 3.
Yeah. So there you go.
And Phase 4 is going to be like what, 5 movies?
We'll see what happens.
Or Phase 4, yeah. Phase 4, I think, is 5 movies because they're doing the Disney Plus stuff now.
We'll get there. We're not there yet. Anyway.
Give us 6 years.
So, like, there was just a lot of things unexplained. I said this already, but, like, we never got an understanding of what the Odin sleep is. And, like, I guess it's a point of rest for Odin because he knows all and sees all, like, all the time. So he needs some time to sleep, even though, despite the fact, there's rumors that, like, he still sees all, even though he's asleep. So, I don't know. I definitely think Odin was right to teach Thor a little bit of a lesson about arrogance and humility and whatnot. Frigga definitely needed more development. Honestly, Sif and the Warriors 3 just need, like, their own movie. Or their own Netflix show. I really, really miss Sasha Alexander, okay? I really liked her as Sif.
You mean Jamie Kennedy. Or Jamie Alexander, I think it
Jamie
is.
Jamie Alexander, sorry.
Yeah.
Sasha Alexander is the one from...
We were talking about NCIS earlier.
So yeah, Jamie Alexander. I really like her as an actress. I really liked Lady Sif. So now let's talk about... We've talked a little bit about, you know, the Asgardians. Frigga definitely needed more love as well. But let's talk about the Earthlings. God, Jane Foster is... Unpopular opinion. Jane Foster is annoying.
The moment when Thor is, you know, he's becomes worthy of Mjolnir again, and he's in the outfit, and then, like, they all see him in the outfit for the first time, like, Selvig's like, oh. And, like, Jane does, like, the possibly worst acted, oh my god. And it's like, you're looking at that going, and the number one thing when I watched it back, I saw that one particular part, I was just wondering to myself, how many takes did they do of that one close-up of her saying, oh my god?
To be honest, I found Daisy grating. I think she has a few, like, cute jokes, but I found her to be utterly pointless to this movie. She does nothing. She complains, she tases Thor and complains about her lost iPod.
That shield took.
So, like, it's just, it was, Jane in the original, in the comics, is, I think, a nurse. And fine, I don't mind that they decided to make her a scientist. I really don't. I also don't mind the fact that they made her more, you know, of a self-assured scientist who's trying to find the impossible as opposed to, like, some random book nerd. Although I would have loved a bookish nerd kind of take on Jane. But either way, I just wasn't a fan. I really wasn't. Maybe I've just been, like, soured on Natalie Portman for a while. Maybe that's it. I don't really know why. But I was not a fan of Jane Foster. Eric Selvig is fine. I don't think there's anything too much that can be said about him. He's a character, and he's there, and that's it.
He serves his point. He serves his purpose.
He serves a purpose. Darcy serves no purpose. But we'll see. Maybe when she shows up in WandaVision, they'll finally give her something to actually do other than, you know, make annoying comments.
Wait, Darcy's going to be in WandaVision?
Apparently everybody's going to be in WandaVision. But I don't ask me why, but I don't care. I like Kat Dennings. I think she's great. She's really funny. I was not a fan of Darcy early on just because she was there and didn't really do much. So hopefully that maybe WandaVision will change my mind. But to be honest, I'm watching WandaVision, or I will be watching WandaVision for Wanda and Vision and for Monica Rambeau because Monica. But anyway, Thor needed a little bit, I think, more development. And it would have been interesting to see a little bit more of his relationship with Loki, just to kind of expand, because, you know, if they had done a little bit more in establishing this relationship, the betrayal of Loki would have hurt all the more. Instead, there's a little bit lack of emotional payoff.
But we do get more in the upcoming films, though. Like, it is something that is and it's something that is continually built upon.
Yes.
Not so much in Avengers, but in Thor Dark World, it's worked on. It's worked on in Ragnarok. It's worked on...
One of the few things I actually liked about Ragnarok.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's just something that's... certain things, because they knew what the plan was moving forward at that point. Because by the time we got to Thor, you know, they had already started planning what was going to happen in Phase 2, and they are already starting preliminary plans for Phase 3 at that point. So they kind of knew where things were going to go. And Kevin Feige had his idea of where he wanted to see the characters go. Or at least when it came to phase three, preliminary ideas of where he wanted these characters to go.
So I would say that maybe they had some work on phase two. I don't think they were that far ahead into phase three, or if at all, just because I remember early on Feige talking about how, you know, this is unprecedented and we don't know what's going to happen or how fans are going to react. But I think they were starting to see, like, oh man, maybe we can actually do this. Like, maybe this will be successful.
Yeah.
So.
But something tells me that deep down inside they knew it was, and that they were going to keep going after Avengers. So they had to put those pieces in play.
Yeah.
So
Thor overall is a decent story. You know, I still go back and rewatch, not just for podcasts, but like I will still go back and rewatch, you know, phase one movies because they're fun and I love them. They're the ones that started it all. So they're going to have a little bit of a different feel than the later movies. And I think looking back on these movies and going back to them after having watched Endgame, you do see a different tone. You do see a different feel for these movies. But so Thor had a lot going for it. It's like I said, it's not the best MCU film by any stretch. It's certainly not the worst.
The worst is really more in phase two.
What's the worst movie in phase? Oh.
Because Iron Man 3 and Thor Dark World were pretty... They're near the bottom of the barrel of all the MCU.
Don't forget films. Age of Ultron.
Well, yeah, Age of Ultron was down there too. But yeah, phase two kind of, like, if it wasn't for Winter Soldier and Ant-Man, you know, that phase would have had some problems. Because Ant-Man was what they used to end phase two.
Oh yeah, that's so weird.
What they did was is that they didn't, because you know, just foreshadowing moving ahead, and it's also why Spider-Man Far From Home is the official end of phase three, is because they didn't want to end on such a lower note like the way Ultron was. Plus they're also
on the other hand though, that they had no way of knowing Ultron was gonna bomb the way it did.
Well, no, but the other part, the other side of the coin was is that Ultron was more of a build-up to what Civil War was. And Civil War was the beginning of Phase 3, and that was such a hard, heavy film. They needed a lighter film, a more comedic one, to lighten the end of Phase 2 before going into Phase 3, which is why we got Spider-Man Far From Home to end Phase 3, because it's a bit more of a lighter film, and it ends on a more, you know, friendlier note than going, some of your Avengers are dead, you know?
Yeah, some, hey guys, the Avengers aren't dead, but everybody knows Spider-Man's secret identity now. What could possibly go wrong?
You know what's funny? I still haven't seen Far From Home, but it's coming out on Blu-ray on my birthday.
Okay, ignore what I just said then.
I don't care. I've already been spoiled of all the stuff. Because if I know I'm not going to see a movie right away, I read the spoilers anyways, just to get it out of the way.
For me, it depends on the movie.
Yeah. Well, no. So, like, for Infinity War and Endgame and stuff like that, like, I didn't read the spoilers because I knew I was going to see it, like, opening weekend. But, like, for Spider-Man Far From Home, you know, and I really don't like dealing with the movie crowds, especially for the superhero movies, because it's like you're trying to watch the film and there's always some jackass or a bunch of jackasses who are constantly cheering throughout the film. And it's like,
I don't mind that.
I do, because I want to hear what's being said. Like, I went to see Batman, The Dark Knight, 3 times in theaters. And every time Heath Ledger's Joker did the magic trick with the pencil, like, every time, you can never hear the next set of dialogue between the characters because everyone was just hooting and hollering throughout the film. And it's like, yo, I wanted to hear what Joker said and what Gamble said in return. You know, I wanted to hear that because whatever that was said mattered going into a later scene. You know, that's just how I am. But for like Spider-Man, I mean, it was just also a scheduling conflict for me to try to see it in theaters. So so like for me, I was just like, ah, the hell of it. I'll just read the spoilers, just move on. And then when I see it, odds are by the time I go see it, you know, on Blu-ray, I'll have forgotten what most of the spoilers were anyways. But sure. all hail Sony marketing for the Blu-ray, because I can't wait to see the Night Monkey. Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
That was great.
So anyway, back to Thor. It does establish that it ties into the MCU because of all of these Easter eggs to Iron Man. And we know it takes place at the same time as Iron Man. It also establishes Loki as a character. It establishes the Tesseract, which ties into the Avengers and to Captain America.
It introduces Steadwell. And it also introduces Hawkeye, albeit both of them are extremely brief appearances, but it does introduce them moving forward. Like you said, it introduced the Tesseract and the cut at the end scene. You know,
and I remember the original Easter eggs from the movie, there is also a hint at, I think in, there's a scene where like it flashes to Odin's like the vault, and we see the Infinity Gauntlet, but we also see like the Eye of Agamotto, which we know those are Easter eggs for later movies, but we also know that they don't make sense.
Well, the Infinity Gauntlet doesn't show up until Ragnarok.
Okay, fair.
And because Hela like is walking around, she just pushes it over and goes, that's a fake.
Oh, she does. You're right. But I think it was hinted at in the first Thor film. I think it's a blink and you miss it. And we know the Eye of Agamotto also has to be fake because we know the Sorcerer Supreme has it. So maybe it's one of those things where Odin claimed to have all of these things so people wouldn't go chasing after them. Because I can't imagine that the Sorcerer Supreme wouldn't know about Odin. At least the ancient one probably does. Doctor Strange, I don't know. Well, right. He knows now. And, you know, I don't think there's anything else to really say that is left to be said about this movie. It's not, like I said, it's like mid-tier.
Yeah. It did its job. It introduced Thor. It introduced Thor to the MCU. It introduced Jane Foster to the MCU. It introduced Hawkeye and Steadwell, and it introduced Loki.
Yep.
And obviously Odin and Frigga, but
and the Nine Realms.
And the Nine Realms, yeah. So like, it did what it was supposed to do. The whole point of it was to introduce. And like, that's the key thing about this first phase, and we're going to talk about on the next episode when we do Captain America, the First Avenger, which is that, you know, it introduced Steve, it introduced Bucky, it introduced Peggy, you know, it introduced the key players moving forward.
Peggy Carter is a key player moving forward.
Because they did the TV show. And she's always a constant for Steve Rogers.
This is me rolling. You guys cannot see this, but I'm vehemently rolling my eyes because of how much I care about Peggy Carter and her love life with Steve.
But
everybody knows Steve's one and only true love is Bernie Rosenthal, and I will fight anybody who says otherwise.
But for the sake of the MCU,
yeah,
she does play a role throughout the series. So
Peggy Carter's overrated. There, I said it.
but that's the thing, and that's the key thing to this, and then kind of like how Avengers was, you know, the way we got the introduction of Thanos, and it got the introduction of the Chitauri
and aliens in general, because like Loki, like Thor kind of hints at the existence of aliens, but and like frost giants, I'm not inclined to call them aliens, they're just frost giants. So we'll get there when we get
there. Yeah, we'll get there.
So this film was released in 2011 with a budget of $150 million.
Was an hour and 55 minutes long. And on IMDb, registered a 7 out of 10.
It does indeed. And it grossed about $449.3 million worldwide.
So it didn't suck.
Not completely, anyway. But then again, I guess we have to wonder if we're looking at this through our MCU rose-colored glasses, where, like, is this not good, not as good because we're watching it with new eyes, or was it never that good? And I guess if it has, you know, a 77% on Rotten Tomatoes and a 7 out of 10 on IMDb, then maybe we're just judging it by our modern MCU brains and not through phase one goggles.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I would just say yeah, like 16 more times.
Yep. And so with that, next show, we will obviously be talking about my future husband, fight me, Captain America, my one and only husband, Captain America. And thank you so much for listening, as always.
Wait. Yeah. Social medias?
Oh, fine.
You keep trying to skip the social medias thing.
So you can find me on geekgirl101.tumblr.com or at geekycaptain on Instagram.
And
people that listen to this already know these things, but okay.
You never know what new listeners you may get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, find new listeners that may or may not exist in the void.
Exactly. And of course, as always, you can follow me on Twitter at @thelindenbaum75. Facebook.com/X75Productions. We have a Tumblr now. All you have to do is just look up X75-Productions. And TXHTHockey.com/nerdy-notions.
And with that, please tune in next time when we talk about my husband, Captain America, and as we continue our adventures through phase one of the MCU. And as always, if you have questions, comments, concerns, or would like to share your favorite medieval torture methods, feel free to comment at the bottom of the video.
That's kinky right there.